Explore this idea of how we are a royal priesthood and how we are receivers of mercy. We praise the Lord that in our communion celebration, we celebrate and rejoice that we are receivers of God's mercy. And so, as we explore this idea, let me get a right clicker. We want to recognize what Peter says in verse 9 of the passage we're going to read, 1 Peter chapter 2. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. These words are very powerful. And they're very important. Because being a chosen people means one time we were not a people, now we are the people of God. God's people, and God has invested in us, and we're connected to Him, and He is the one who watches over us. He's our shepherd, our good shepherd, and He's with us all the time. But we're not only that, we are also a chosen people, and you can see the great diversity of people shown here. You know, a Roman centurion, fishermen, women, and men throughout time and history. You've got maybe a picture of Joseph with what looks like Egyptian dress. Just a great diversity of people whom God has chosen. And just like us, we're a great diversity here in this church. A great range of kind of people, but called and selected by Him. And we are a royal priesthood, who are given the task of serving for the Lord in His house. And it's a beautiful picture. And we are the true Israel of God, one holy nation in Christ. And there's a grand sense of spanning the whole entire planet Earth. Whether we go to Korea or China or Russia or Ukraine or Germany or Sweden or all the way down to South Africa and Namibia or Egypt, go to the Arctic, go to Canada, U.S., Mexico, all the way down to Chile and Argentina. We can go to any of the islands, many, many islands represented even here. Pohnpei, Kosarai, Palau, Chuuk, Guam, Tinian, Rota. All of it is part of the true Israel of God, where people are called and belong to Jesus Christ. In Christ, we become one holy nation. And that's a great picture of who we are in Christ, a special possession of the Lord's. And our calling is to bring the Lord praise and honor. That's our calling. All of us together are committed to this, as Psalm 30 verse 12 says and reminds us, Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. That's who we're called to be part of. And as we go doing this, praising the Lord, we are following the Good Shepherd who is leading us into provision and safety. That's a Good Shepherd image, is that He's going to make sure that we get fed. He's going to make sure that we get to a place where we are protected. And it's a glorious and wonderful thing. And then our Lord Jesus is a light giver. And He shines His light into the world. Jesus is the light of the world. And He's like the lighthouse, beaming forth into, you know, the ships are trying to find their way in the fog. And the lighthouse tells them not to crash in the rocks here, but to go and into a safe harbor, and tells them where to go. The Lord Jesus lights us up with the glory of God. He glorifies Him in us, and He brings us to give Him the glory and honor now and forever. Makes us wholeheartedly willing to give our all to Christ in our everyday lives. That we, ordinary people, can give everything to Christ and be part of a faith family that continues to serve Him. I love this passage, because Peter sees a new spiritual house being built. One that is not a brick and stone, but is a people like you and I. And this Revelation 21, 22 passage shows us what's there, what's present in the city of God at the end of time. I saw no temple in the city, because the Lord our God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And all who belong to Him are part of that temple, and they're giving glory and honor to Him. And so Peter sees way beyond brick and stone and anything on the earth, but he's looking into the very heavenlies. He is clear that what happens in our life with Christ and being united with Christ is our sin gets cut off from us. It overcomes, by following Christ, we overcome sin in our lives. By knowing the Bible and knowing Scripture, knowing Christ, we realize that sin has deadly effects. And the Scriptures help us with aids and tools or weapons to overcome sin in our lives. And then we recognize the saving role that Jesus played in dying on the cross. And He plays now by applying the merits of the cross to our souls to bring us reconciliation, forgiveness. So in 1 Peter, he says, crave pure spiritual milk. Be like a baby, realizing you need the Holy Spirit to come and transform you. And we need the nourishing of our faith life through the Word of God and through the life in Christ. And the Lord Himself will be there to nourish and sustain our faith and help us to grow. That's what God has. He's got a vested interest in making things grow. Really much, very much like the power of planet Earth to restore Typhoon Sinlaku. Just like Mewar blew all the leaves away, everything looks brown. But the jungle, power of the jungle, grows back. God has put the principle of growth into the world, and He puts it into our faith, that He will nourish and help us to grow. And meanwhile, God is busy building His new temple. As Acts 17 says, the God who made the world and everything in it, the principle of growth, is the Lord of heaven and earth, and He does not live in temples made up by human hands. So He is one who's busy building. This temple is not built by human hands, but built by God. And Jesus Christ is its cornerstone, as we learn from the book of Romans. So we're built on Him into this new temple. Let us pray a moment, and then we will turn to our passage. Dear Lord, thank You so much for Scripture, like 1 Peter chapter 2. And, so much more, Lord. The epistles of Paul, Revelation, Hebrews. Lord, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Book of Acts, which talks about the acts of the Holy Spirit. And all of the Old Testament, Lord, which has beautiful and profound passages which describe who You are, God, in Your holiness, and who You are in Your mission to redeem the world in Jesus Christ. We pray that You will help us to be people who are always seeking Your wisdom through the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures that the Holy Spirit inspired. We thank You, Lord, that this morning we can depend upon the Holy Spirit to give us inspiration in reading this passage. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, so 1 Peter 2, 1 to 10. And beginning off, of course, he talks about sin and talks about getting rid of it, the sin that negates love. Therefore, get rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, as you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, the stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And this stone then causes people to stumble, and it's a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So, thanks be to God. This is a reading of God's word. And I wanted to take a moment to tie the two things, the two sides. You have received mercy, and therefore you are a people who are ridding yourselves of all malice and all deceit. You know, malice is like having wicked thoughts for each other, wanting to stab each other in the back. It's just that whole idea of enmity that you experience from people. Sometimes they're just full of anger and hate. And then we don't want this in our midst. We know it's a bad mixture with a people who are dedicated to Jesus Christ and his love. And we don't want any deceit, you know, saying one thing and doing another. Don't want any hypocrisy where, again, you're saying one thing, doing another. No envy. We recognize and celebrate each other, and we don't slander each other. And that's why we are a people who have received mercy. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we are people who have received mercy. So I want to draw your attention to this. Peter, who wrote this text. Now, Peter was an apostle, yes. He was a follower of Jesus Christ, but he was also a Jew. And he lived in Israel. He lived in Palestine. And he knew the city of Jerusalem. And he knew the temple. It's called Herod's Temple. It's a picture of it. With the Holy of Holies is the big high place in the middle of it. And there's a terrace in front of it for the people to come and congregate, and there's another outer courtyard in which the Gentiles could come and maybe worship God in that space. But so he knows what this temple looks like. He knows what it feels like. He knows how it was a part of his life to go up to Jerusalem and worship God. It was a thing that was required of all the people of Israel, whether they lived up in Galilee or they lived down in the very southern parts of Israel or lived anywhere around Jerusalem. They were all to come in there and go to the temple. They knew what it looked like. They knew what it felt like. And you remember Jesus, the story. Oh, here's a temple picture. They came up and they could see it. Then you remember the story of Jesus who was found in the temple by his parents. They had gone on the pilgrimage up to Jerusalem, and Jesus stayed afterwards and started talking with the scholars and the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, and he was telling them what the Bible said because he knows it from heart, because he's Jesus, the Son of God, and he's able to teach them and bring them into a place of awe. And this is happening in the temple. Peter knows what that was like to just stand there and talk and be in the temple. He knows what the temple was like when Jesus would go there and teach. Jesus went to the temple regularly. And he would stand on the stones in the courtyard, look at the columns that built and held up this whole building. And he would teach the people, among whom would be Peter. And it was an everyday part of his life as a Jew. And then Peter began to realize something brand new. Peter went through all of these experiences. First of all, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Peter went running with John to the tomb, and he went running inside. He saw the clothes there, and he said, like, what's happened? Where is Jesus' body? And then he realized, and he began to meet Jesus, including here on the beach up in Galilee, where the resurrected Jesus cooks breakfast for them, calls them from their fishing, and he meets with them. And in the resurrection, Peter begins to realize something brand new. God is up to something brand new, something totally different. And he's standing there with the other disciples as Jesus is ascending into heaven. He sees him disappear up into heaven, and he's gone. And then Peter lives through the experience of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit comes with a power of wind, and looks like tongues of flame on the people, and this is just a picture of Peter standing up and then preaching to them, the gathered crowd of thousands, and he tells them the word of God, and he tells them what it means that Jesus died, and he says this is the will of God, that Jesus be put on the cross and die for our sins, that he shed his blood and give his body and be buried in a tomb, but he was raised from the dead on the third day. And this is what Peter was preaching. And he said to the people, repent and be baptized. And this is what they did. Then they used water and they baptized, you know, just like we were remembering about the water earlier and about what we celebrated with Irene yesterday, the baptism. So Peter is being transformed. And he realizes that God is up to something far greater and of much deeper significance now. He is building the New Testament church. Peter is part of it. And he's adding people who are being saved. Thousands on the first preaching at Pentecost. And this church is going to become a massive thing. It's going to become a huge thing. And the church is going to begin moving from place to place. It's not going to stay static or be in one place, because by the power of the Holy Spirit, God is building a brand new temple, multiplying the church, not just in one place, but multiplying as it went from place to place to place, as it went and broke out of the precincts of Jerusalem and went to the forgotten and neglected people of Samaria, and then went on to the Ethiopian eunuch and was brought into Africa, and then the church grew in all these many different places. It was going from place to place as the Holy Spirit spread the word of God. And Peter is beginning to realize that God is building a brand new temple out of people like him, and out of people like Paul, and out of people like James and John, and out of newfound believers, as I'll point out here in this map. David gave kindly a pointer. So, what started, you know, in Jerusalem, broke out, Caesarea, then it was up in Antioch, and then from there, Paul went on his missionary journeys, and he found new believers in Salamis and Paphos and the island of Cyprus, and then it moved on up into the provinces of Asia Minor, we used to call it, now it's called Turkey, and of course, the churches were built in Ephesus and Antioch, Iconium, Derbe, and then up along the coast here, the Black Sea, Philippi, Thessalonica, Corinth, and ultimately on to Rome. And it never stopped there. It kept going. The building and the expansion and the way living stones were built into the kingdom of God, into this new temple that is a living thing. And there is just no limit. There is no end to it. You see, it's a marvelous and amazing thing that even the far islands would one day hear the gospel. And one of the first places that came true was on the edges of Europe. The Roman Empire began to stretch across Europe against the Rhine River, which drained all the way into the sea in the Netherlands up there in the north, a place I'm going to go to soon. And yet there were pagan tribes above that they were not tame, or they were very wild. They began to settle in the UK and Britain. And there used to be they reached so far, and then the wild Scots from the north, they built a wall, tried to keep them out in their civilized part. And there was a Christian part. There were Christian people building churches and planting churches. And yet it never reached Ireland, the Roman Empire. And the gospel never really reached Ireland until Patrick came along, Patrick's Day. And they went to the far island there in Ireland, and they began to bring the gospel. And that whole island became a lighthouse of spreading the gospel then to many others, building this living body of Christ, living stones, as Peter is referring to in his passage. And he's saying that people were coming to Jesus Christ, the living stone, who is rejected by the leaders of Israel as a castaway stone, and they're becoming part of a spiritual house in which they are a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices to the Lord. And what is being illustrated here is that the gospel doesn't stop. Even there in Europe, it keeps going And it is even brought to these islands, Guam, and Tinian, and Rota, and on into all of Micronesia and down to the edges of the world, Australia, New Zealand. So 1 Peter 2, 5 and 10 says, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." And it says, "Once you were not a people, now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." So remember that it's brought and drawn from the great diversity of the world, united into the body of Christ, which no one can measure but God alone. Even in this gathering of the hands, you see the flags. And you can see, my pointer again, you have Germany, you have Brazil, you have, I think one is France, I'm not sure, Switzerland is here, Japan, Turkey. You just have a great variety of flags, their hands in the Bible. And from all those languages and tongues, the Bible's been translated and continues to be translated into the two languages even today. And many more people. No one can measure the great diversity of this living body of Christ except God Himself. And that's what we're reminded of. There are many cultures being brought into one church. There are all kinds of people made one in Christ. Made one in Christ. We were brought into a unity. And so, if you are offering up yourselves as a living sacrifice, as we were learning about last week, that what God is looking for is ourselves, our hearts, our minds, our bodies, our whole selves, given as a living sacrifice to Him. If we're offering up ourselves in that way, if we're making our gifts available to each other and for the sake of the church, and we're offering our gifts to other believers, then you are being built up as part of the holy temple of the Lord in the planet Earth, which you are now serving as a holy priesthood. These gifts which God gives us are spiritual gifts. There are great diversity of them, and they're helping us serve together in unity the kingdom of God and the work of the Lord in the earth. For we are being, this is now in the book of Ephesus, Paul is reminding us, we are being built into a temple built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Paul sees it the same way Peter sees it, and they are united in their vision of seeing what God is doing in the world. And he sees that we are all being like living stones built into a spiritual house, being a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That we are experiencing this amazing truth of Scripture, that we are all being called to hold offices in the church by virtue of belonging to Christ. It's not just about someone else being a pastor or someone else being an elder or someone else being a deacon. It's about all of us in our office as a believer. We are given special privilege to be priests who are serving in God's holy temple. You also, as living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. We are holy priests serving in the Lord's temple. We are all citizens of a heavenly kingdom. We are not citizens of just the United States or the FSM, the Federated States of Micronesia, or of the Philippines, or of Korea, or Japan. We are citizens of a heavenly kingdom, citizens who are sojourners traveling through this world, estranged from it by Jesus Christ, belonging to Him, realizing that we have a spiritual home in heaven with Him. And then we are all of us, adopted children of God. We are sons and daughters of the King. We are all brought into His family. That's why we have a faith family. It's really a wonderful expression. We are, through Jesus Christ and our trust in Him, brought into that family and adopted, belonging to Christ, belonging to Him alone. And it's a beautiful unifying factor. We belong to Christ. And that's what we celebrate as we share the table, as we eat the bread and drink the cup. We are united in Christ. And we trust in Jesus. We trust in Him and Him alone to bring us our righteousness. You see, righteousness comes to us as a gift. It's not an earning. It's not something we have to work for. It's not like the paycheck at the end of the week. You put your hours in, you get your payment, your salary, whatever. You know, it is something we receive as a gift because we belong to Jesus Christ. And we receive from Jesus peace that passes all understanding. That we are reconciled to God and we are being brought into a shalom, which is a wonderful Hebrew word which is depicted that we have shalom in the world. Shalom, a peace of God that passes understanding, where everything is made right. Where we're at one with God, we're one with our neighbor, we're one with ourselves. We're brought into a peace and a shalom which is quite beautiful in experiencing it. And we are part of a special remnant. We are found in Christ, and we are His chosen people, brought out of the world to be truly devoted to Jesus Christ forevermore. Found in Christ, we are one with Him. And there is no special virtue for us in us to be in this position, but is only by virtue of being found in Jesus Christ. Knowing Him and loving Him is how we find ourselves in the number of those who are in heaven praising God forever and ever. And how we remember that is this beautiful hymn, In Christ Alone. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my rock. He's my salvation. In Christ alone my hope is found. And let us celebrate that as we have communion together. Amen. Dear Lord, we thank and praise You that this morning hour we remember that we are in Christ and in Him alone is found our hope. He is the rock upon which we stand, and that we don't have to sink down in the mire or the mud because we belong to Him. And He grants us His righteousness and puts upon us a robe that is white in place of our dirty rags. We thank You, Lord, that You have made us pure in Him and we can serve Him as His people, priests serving the Lord's temple, citizens of a heavenly kingdom, adopted as sons and daughters of the King, who is the King of kings and Lord of lords, our precious and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that You may bless us in our time of celebrating the Lord's Supper together, and in our faith in Jesus, may we share that with a world in which there are many who are not thinking about it, even this morning, Lord, who are not even wondering. But we pray that we may help them to see that they were called and created to give glory to God, and all glory belongs to Him. And we must be obedient and bring Him praise and honor, and that we do as we sing our next song. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.